Welcome to the Archer Gray Quick 30. Sandra Humphrey is our guest today. Thanks for being willing to sit down with us.
Yes. Hi, Patrick. I'm glad to get the opportunity to sit down and talk about, you know, the Internet of Things and how that applies to real business.
Yeah, great. There's been a lot of discussion that I've heard with clients and people in the marketplace, especially with PTC and their marketing efforts around IoT and all the technology that supports it, and then this evolution from PLM, product lifecycle management, to thinking about it more from a digital thread of, hey, the data exists, what are we going to do with it, who's consuming it, and how can they leverage it for business value? So one of the things that I wanted to talk about today was around the topic of ThingWorx. I think a lot of people have been exploring it, they've been exploring it from a proof of concept perspective, and they may be considering it, but we're starting to see large conversions of organizations that have established solid business value, and they're moving forward with it. And I know you've got tremendous experience in that, and that's a topic I'd like to focus on, if that's all right with you.
Yes. All right, good.
So tell us a little bit about yourself first, who you are, what you're doing now, but and a little bit of your history.
Yes, so I just joined Archer Gray a couple of months ago as a consultant for the Windchill implementations. And so previously I was at Fujitsu Network Communications in Texas, and my responsibility was CAD tool administration, process improvement, engineering change process, and looking at new technology. So as I was there 20 years, over the time, we were always encouraged to improve processes and simplify things for the engineer, not just the engineers, but for manufacturing, the handoff from engineering to manufacturing, how manufacturing can improve their processes with the data that they're given from engineering. So I was approached by PTC, because I attend their conferences regularly, about ThingWorx and how that could be used at Fujitsu.
So, you know, Fujitsu is a large organization, so I know that you were a division of that. So tell us a little bit about what products you were associated with.
Yes, so we did telecom equipment.
Okay.
So switches and optical networking equipment. So majority of the cell phone companies were our customers, the large down to cable and city network services. So they were boxes, basically, of equipment that, you know, connected up and moved data around.
Okay. So within the organization, you would do the design of a product, you would do the manufacturing of the product, you would sell it to end consumer, well, not end consumers, but your clients, mm-hmm. right? And then was there a service aspect to Fujitsu as well?
Yes. So we also provided the service end of our equipment, right? So once the equipment was installed in a central office or that sort of thing, we would have services that would, I mean, these are large networks, so you figure the stock exchange, you know, our equipment is all down in their lobby. And so when major events happen, you know, we can go in and replace the equipment, or just minor failures of the network, we would send out somebody to repair it.
Okay. So and then you also used Windchill to store all of the product data, correct?
Correct. All yeah. Right. From a CAD perspective, that's where we kept our data.
Okay. All right, great. So PTC approaches you about ThingWorx 2-3 years ago?
Yeah, about 3 years ago. You know, they had been presenting, and you had saw, you know, on their website and all that about this new technology, right? Connecting things and sharing data. And so I did their pilot project to to try it out.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the time, I really wasn't sure how we were going to use it, but I needed to see how easy it was to use.
So did they call you specifically, or was there an executive at Fujitsu that said, hey, there's some functionality that I think may help us? How did that scenario
evolve? It came from PTC, and that they, because I had really questioned, you know, started looking at it, and it did come from the bottom up, far as this technology.
Okay, so that came from you discovering the technology,
yes,
first, and so you were just exploring, quite frankly, in an R&D way.
Yes, because just the AR aspect of it, mm-hmm, of how to reuse the CAD models, was very attractive. How we could do that,
mm-hmm,
and how easy it was to do.
And so, well, you could use that. So, was it PTC planning the idea and the vision for you, or were you looking for that type of solution in the marketplace and the technology was
well, as a there as a company, you? They're always looking for new revenue streams. So whenever I would see companies or PTC present on the services aspect, you know, in my mind, I was like, that's something we can really get value from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, monetarily, we could sell this a service to our third-party service providers. We could, for ourselves, to save time on truck rolls and reduce the time it took to fix equipment. And then looking at whether you don't have to send a level 5 tech out to do a job. You could send a level 2 out, provide additional information via mobile apps, and save yourself some money, right?
Okay. All right, so it sounds like there's a little bit of a scientist in you, right? This R&D aspect. So you want to discover, and you're also thinking about different ways that you can bring value to the organization, either providing data to consumers within the organization more efficiently and or creating revenue.
Yes.
So, all right, that's great. So you decided that this technology might be something for you to explore. So tell me about the steps that you took. So there may be people out there listening to this podcast that see all of the hype in the marketplace,
right,
and they're just trying to decipher, hey, is this something that is going to be worth my time? And if I'm going to prioritize my time to focus on it, what's a way that they can do early qualification where, you know, they focus on it for a specific amount of time and then can make decisions of whether to advance that moving forward to, you know, build business cases and all of those things? How would you go about doing that?
Right. So what I did was you know, engineering tends, in most companies, tends to be a silo out away from other organizations, right? Whether it be sales engineering, somewhat manufacturing, but service, there was really no connection between engineering and service. So I started just speaking with other groups and how were they using our CAD models,
mm-hmm,
right? And so come to find out they weren't. They were redrawing or having some other company redigitize for user manuals or training documentation or even going to manufacturing, right? They would redo the visual representations of the CAD, you know, the CAD models. So then that's where I started. I just started talking to people and, you know, then built up the use cases and the proof of concepts that we would start moving forward with.
So what were the top, I like to work in buckets of three. So what were the top three business cases that you defined that you thought would resonate with executives to prove whether or not the proof of concept was successful?
So the service aspect was certainly the top one.
Okay.
And then how this could be used from a sales perspective. And then how they could use it internally for their engineering, specifically how test engineers that may be offshore or in other locations could connect to equipment that was installed in the lab and be able to troubleshoot and make changes remotely with the data that was presented in a ThingWorx mashup.
Hmm. All right, so let's break those three down. So you said service was the first one by far.
Yes.
And I know we touched on it at the beginning, but I'd like to dive into that a little bit. The other one was sales, and then the other was...
Was internal...
For R&D or for...
Yes, it was all in R&D.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about the service side of things. So I believe you said it was a revenue...
Opportunity,
right? Brand new?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, so a lot of companies in this space, in the telecom, they outsource their service maintenance support to third-party service providers that those companies do HVAC, they may do telecom, they may be doing some other, but they have a wide range. And so you use them to go out and service your equipment that may be in the middle of the field in Nebraska. They're responsible for when a ticket comes in that a network is down, it is dispatched to them. And then they are responsible for sending someone out to the location to fix the issue. So most of the time, the majority of the time they know the equipment, but there's those cases where they're deploying people who are new to the company and that sort of thing that may not have worked on that specific piece of equipment. And so the proof of concept was to be able to use ThingWorx to notify the service provider that there's a failure. And right now that was happening by a phone call or an email. Somebody is back in the NOC, which is the central hub of when problems are happening, right? Mm-hmm. And so they would, send a message, make a phone call, and somebody would have to react. And so automating that process. So when the network goes down, it's automating through ThingWorx to notify them. So at that point, they dispatch somebody. So that somebody, like I said, could have worked on the equipment before or not. So at the point they're dispatched, they get out to the location and they have a laptop or an iPad or a phone, and they are they're troubleshooting the equipment. So they have internet access, so they may have to log into a Fujitsu website to get content that is in some PDF file that's located somewhere on that server. And they're presented with some LEDs and that sort of thing to kind of tell them what's going on. So the thought is that we could provide them a mobile app that they could connect to that piece of equipment. It would display exactly what they needed to do, not be going through 300 pages of a document to find what that alarm means and then what to do with it. So they're presented at the location with exactly what the alarms that are going off, right? So they can work on the high priority ones, so that they would select that alarm. It would immediately tell them, here's what you do to fix it.
So were those alarms, so you had mentioned those were sensors, and so you were using AR to troubleshoot?
Yes. Yeah, so at the point of, so the equipment, and it's all based on REST, so ThingWorx is connected to the unit, actually, in looking for these alarms, right? So the alarm goes back to the ThingWorx app, and then the mashup will tell them, okay, you have three alarms that are high priority and one that's low, and so what to do with those alarms. And so at that point, it'll tell them, go do this, this, and this. And the AR piece would then show them exactly, you need to pull this card, you need to unplug this, how to do all that. It shows them visually how to do that.
And so that documentation is already created. That was an artifact that was already within your organization. You were just taking flat data that was documented, and to your point, rather than going through 300 pages, you were digitizing that and changing the way people were consuming that information in ready time.
Yes.
Real time.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, so then through the AR experience, they would be shown how to do that. So we were at the point of running a real trial out in the field with a third-party service provider. And so also during that time, another application became available from PTC that would do real-time troubleshooting just by pointing your mobile device at the unit, and you could communicate real-time with the person back at the central office network center and be able to mark up exactly what that person needed to do. You need to move this cable from here to here. Mm-hmm. You know, he's plugged it in the wrong spot and it's still not working, right? He doesn't know it should have gone two slots over. And so being able to do that saves a bunch of time, right? And then those markups could be saved down into Windchill so that when you're doing post-mortem and that sort of thing, to evaluate whether your training is adequate, whether your installation and turn-up process, that when you install that equipment, is that adequate? And so being able to capture those things, which we've never been able to do, to improve your installation and service process.
And so you had mentioned it was a revenue creator on the service side. So tell me, you're still leveraging the relationships with the third party, right?
Yes.
And so where does the service revenue come from in that model?
So in the infield proof of concept, there was an agreement that they would help us, you know, validate that what we thought we could do, we could do.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that point, you would sell it as a service, right? And
To the third party. To the third party.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes. And so then they would, because then we could provide the models. And it doesn't necessarily have to be Fujitsu models, product models. So we can take models from other companies and be able to provide that same information, not just on our equipment. Okay. And so, yes. And so at that point, the conversation with the third party was, you know, we have our preventative maintenance we do every year. So you have these conversations with people and you start figuring out, well, we could provide an app or a ThingWorx mashup that could notify you when your maintenance is due on a piece of equipment. And then you can start looking at trends on, okay, we had failure on that equipment in 9 months. Could the preventative maintenance be moved up to prevent that failure from happening? So then you can do some analysis on failures and maybe prevent some of those through maintenance.
Yeah.
And so they were keeping their maintenance records in an Excel spreadsheet that some guy's looking at every Monday morning or whatever and saying, oh, okay, here's what we have to do this week for this piece of equipment. There's thousands of pieces of equipment, right? So that was another aspect when we had the conversation with them about how we can provide more service to them, right?
Yeah.
So that's another service aspect of it that you would provide as a subscription. You know, it doesn't have to be really expensive. You know, for the end customer.
Okay. All right. That's compelling. Yeah, it's interesting. You hear the general comments in these demonstrations, but until you start to dig into the use case in that example of them managing their maintenance schedule on an Excel spreadsheet, which Excel is just a massive application as far as its use across all organizations, regardless how big and small they are. So there's a lot of opportunity in there, but
right.
it takes stories like that to realize that there's opportunity to be recognized.
Right. So you that's what you do. You go in and you look and say, okay, what are we doing manually? And that's across the board with any of these tools is you shouldn't be reworking or doing things manually,
mm-hmm.
right? We have too much information to be doing that. And so that's what kind of kept driving me to keep digging further into what we could do.
All right. So thank you for diving deep on the service side. So let's go to the sales opportunity and the use case there. Tell us more about that.
Okay. So I was having a conversation with the sales guy, the director over the sales group, and he goes, you know, it would be nice if I could just take this and show my customer up in Canada our equipment, right? It's not overly large, but it's heavy. I've got to ship it up there. Maybe it's not ready. So we did up an AR experience so that he could take it up to the customer, show it sitting on the desktop. He could take the cover off. They could look inside. Spin it around, you know, actually look at it. And so the customer's like, okay, I understand what you're talking about.
So how much extra effort did that take from, so I assume engineers are collaborating with sales, or is that data that's already exist? Are the models more defined? Is it the marketing group that's starting to create those? How much extra effort is it to have that capability where it's defined enough where the customer can have a realistic representation?
Right. So there's in our flow, the models and the units are generally prototyped very quickly at the front end. And so the engineers would have put something together, whether it was a knockoff from another unit. And then within 30 minutes, we had something that he could use.
So what was the use case? So there's the visual experience, mm-hmm. right? But oftentimes you don't get funding for an initiative unless it's going to bring some type of significant value. So you describe that from a service perspective. And
so just not having to ship the units, because it could be a rack, you know, a 7-foot rack with 10 of these things in it. So not just a piece of equipment, a whole system,
mm-hmm.
right? And you're not going to want to ship all that. So you could show a 7-foot rack with real life size, actual size units that the customer can walk around, get an idea of space. There could be multiple racks, right? How would we lay out your central office with this equipment? Right? So that has real value when you can quickly take this and show the customer, right? And so some of it's mock-ups, some of it is functioning equipment, some of it is still being developed. And so being able to do that, the sales guy can get out there sooner, right? Because you have information for him to use.
So you're increasing sales team's ability to meet with more customers.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume not only are you filling the pipeline with more opportunities because it doesn't take as much time to get all that equipment, is there also the scenario where you've taken out a step in the sales process? Was that part of the use case, or?
Yeah, well, I guess having to to deal with the equipment piece,
yeah.
right? Because they're always having to manage, how do I get the equipment up to the customer?
So that was the scope for the POC.
Right.
Was the shipping aspect of it, and that's role in the sales process for the
Right. He wanted to be able to take a unit that was still in prototyping phase,
okay.
but he knew he had a customer that the technical specifications of that unit were what they needed. He needed to be able to show them what it looked like.
Great. All right. Good. All right. Service, sales, and now on the internal R&D side of things.
Right. So this equipment has to be tested. It has to be put out in the lab. And so one of the good things is that with the ThingWorks mashup, you can show how the equipment is behaving. What is the temperature of the area it's in? Is it on or off? Are all of the cables plugged in? If the cables are plugged in, are they actually getting data? And so you have an engineer in Texas who's, you know, putting this stuff in a rack that's sitting out in the lab where they do their testing for design. And then you have the actual test engineers who are running all of the other tests that are required for certifications and the requirements, customer requirements, and that sort of thing. So those engineers overseas they can't see the unit, right? And so you can provide a mashup that shows them what's the software that was loaded on this? What is the unit? What's its serial number? What connections does it have? What color its LEDs are? And then the alarming again, so that as he's testing and he sees that alarm has come up, he can then select on it and he's like, okay, I need to go, this is what I need to go fix. So it makes that process of debugging during test and even turn up, right, like in design, shorter, right? And you're able to communicate with them, get the information to them quicker. So now if a cable has come loose or whatever, he doesn't have to call the tech that's working in the lab in Texas to say, hey, can you go look and see which one of these is loose? He can say, input one, the cables fell out, or whatever the deal, and he can tell them exactly what needs to be done.
Time is money, ultimately, right?
Right, and then you're looking at different time zones, right? And so if you need to wait until the next day, you know, and then communicate, and yes, it just, time is money. And
I mean, those are great examples, and I talk with a lot of customers out there, and some of them have POCs in place, and their POCs, you know, some have experienced technical hurdles as they're doing it by themselves, and others haven't built a business case strong enough or compelling enough for executives to give them funding to bring it to production. And it sounds like with those three use cases, you take any one of those and they're pretty compelling, but combine all three of them and it could be a game changer for business.
Right. And so, but as you know, yes. And so as you start looking and digging, there are other areas of opportunity to save your company money by getting all of this information, your models, the data, and just like tech pubs, right? So if they're redrawing a model and it's taking 4 days to do that, these tools that you use to do AR would also provide tech pubs with a graphical representation in 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So you start digging and you start finding other areas that these tools can help just with internal processes. So having someone to do that is, I think, pretty powerful.
Yeah, well, I'd love to be able to set up multiple conversations, and there's various folks that I know that we can talk with to help them identify their use cases. So I'm looking forward to having those discussions with those clients and prospects, because there's a lot of folks that need some help, and I think you'll help bring some light into a gray lighted room.
Yes, right.
So I appreciate you coming in today for Archer Gray's Quick 30.
Okay.
And we'll look forward to having future discussions.
All right. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.